Welcome. Today, we're having a conversation with Maureen Mulevi.
Yes.
I'm trying to make sure I get that pronounced right. Program Director, as of August of 2016, mm-hmm. with the Gong Road Children's Association. Mm-hmm. And Maureen is visiting the United States for a few weeks or a couple of weeks to meet with sponsors and visit with friends of Gong Road. And first, I want to thank you for sharing some of your valuable time while you're here to visit.
Thank you, Steve.
So you said you came into town last Thursday, and today is Tuesday?
No, I came on Saturday.
Came on Saturday. So you've been here a couple few days.
Yes.
And is this the first time that you've been to the United States?
This is the second time I've been to the United States. I was in New York City, that is 2015, when I was working with Planned Parenthood Global. But in Minneapolis, this is the first time I'm coming to this city, and it's a wonderful city.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be around.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So what's interesting, first of all, too bad you're coming on such a cloudy, cold day. I mean, this is, you know, the start of our winter, so you're getting to enjoy our dread.
Yeah, I'm happy to have such an experience.
Good, good. Thank you. And you were in New York before. So that's this is quite a smaller city than New York, but Minneapolis is actually almost the same size as Nairobi. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I can see it's more beautiful than Nairobi.
Oh,
there are a lot of trees around, and
Yeah, well, I think beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. I love Minneapolis, but I've loved visiting Nairobi as well. So, so how long will you be in town here?
I'll be in town for the next 2.5 weeks, and then I'd be going to New Orleans to speak to a university that we are partnering with. That is Tulane University.
That's with Sally Kenney, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Sally Kenney and Professor Steffi Isabel.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll actually be interviewing or having a conversation with Sally as well as a part of this series.
Oh.
So I'm looking forward to that. I met Sally when my first trip to Kenya, 2012.
Great.
And so it's fun to see that what she's been doing with this, and that fits with all this.
Yeah, she's a great lady, and she's supporting Gong Road Children Association in a great way. They've just, during camp, this year's camp, they supported in conducting an evaluation to see if the programs we are conducting are relevant, the why. And really, we appreciate the support we are getting from them because the findings are good, and we hope that they'll our programs will continue being relevant.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Let's touch on that a little bit later in the conversation. I'd really like to talk about that. But, you know, before we get into some of the program things, I'd really like to just talk about you a little bit. So you joined the organization in August of last year. And so and you have a very interesting background. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about both your work background, but, you know, your personal background, you know, where do you come from, you know, what's your family like, your siblings, or anything that you might want to tell us about.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad to talk about that. So I grew up in the rural part of Kenya. In Kenya, Nairobi is the capital city for Kenya, but I grew up in the west, western side of Kenya. It's in the rural. And so I grew up in a bigger family. But in my family, we are 10. My mother has, I have 9 siblings, and I'm the middle child. And so I grew up, my dad he was a teacher and he used to be a farmer. So I grew up in a background where my dad used to love to support people coming from fortunate backgrounds because he was, I'll say that he was middle class, not very rich, but he had the heart to support because really helping is not about having too much. It's about the heart to support. So in our home, we could have more than 10 children. You know, we used to sharing because where I come from, most people believe in education for boys. because they imagine that if you educate a girl and she'll get married, so it will not be very beneficial to the family, because when she gets married, the family that she gets married to are the ones who are going to benefit. So my dad was a person who used to fight for the rights of girls. She believed that when you educate a girl, you educate the whole community, because girls will come and support the children in the home, and it will really help grow the community. So we used to have girls come in our home. My dad could pay for school fees. We could go together to school. And that's how I did my... I went to a local primary school around home from class 1 to class 8. That is equal to grade 1 to grade 8 in the United States. And then I was lucky. I performed well during my final exams. That is Kenya Certificate of Primary Education, which really matters in Kenya. With that, if you performed well, you could go to a school depending on your marks. So I was able to go to a provincial school. Provincial school is next to the highest level of education for high school. The best schools are national schools. But I performed and I was able to go to a provincial school where I went to Form 1 up to Form 4. And I was able to perform well. I got a direct entry into a public university in Kenya. And so I joined a university still next to, which is in between Western and Nairobi. It's called Moi University. You could check on the universities in Kenya. It's one of the best public universities in Kenya. And in the university, I pursued a course in social science, which is a majored in sociology. After my 4 years, I graduated. I passed well my exams, so I graduated. And I had a chance to go back to university and pursue my Master's of Arts, still in sociology. I majored in sociology. And so I'll touch more on my work life. I was like, in Kenyan economy, getting a job is not that easy. And so you must be someone that is very outgoing for you to secure a job. And I'm glad that I'm an extrovert and I can't just sit there and wait for things to happen. So through my being just relating with people well, I was able to get a job after 1 month of my graduation. Immediately, I landed a job. So most of my working life for the past 14 or 15 years, I've been working. I've been working in the development world, working with non-state organizations. My first job, which involved working in an abstinence program, being a youth officer in an abstinence program.
So you say abstinence was, is that related to reproductive health?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's related to reproductive health. And the most recent work I've worked, the organization I've worked with, Planned Parenthood Global, which really is the leading, I believe here in the United States, it's a leading organization implementing sexual and reproductive health. So I worked there, supporting, being a regional coordinator, supporting various, supporting countries on issues of contraceptives for the youth. So what happens with such, what happens in Kenya with most organizations is that you get a grant. And so a grant will last like, the maximum a grant could last is 3 years.
Okay.
So for Planned Parenthood Global, we had secured a grant for 2 years, which got finished. And after the 2 years, we were able to secure another grant that was going for the other 2 years. And then I worked there again, but again, the grant was almost coming to an end. And so I was trying to look for another opportunity. So when the grant comes to an end, so how do I survive? So I was up and I was sharp, just trying to get out that after this, so what? So it happened that Ngongo Children Association had put an advert looking for a program director. And so when I saw that, I was like, wow, this is the best fit for my skills and my passions. Because having come from a bigger family where our dad valued supporting, helping others, when I saw the mission of the organization really helping children coming from vulnerable backgrounds to help them, support them through education so that they could transform their lives. And then I said, this is the best match for me. And so I gave it a shot.
Wow.
And I'm glad I'm here.
Wow.
And I can see we are transforming lives. And I'm happy and passionate about it. And what really makes me passionate about it all is that when you see the change, having worked in bigger organizations than Gogro Children Association, you know, in big organizations, you won't get that satisfaction because systems are already there, things have already been done. Mm-hmm. So your impact cannot really be felt because there's nothing you're bringing in.
Yeah.
Here at Gogro Children Association, being an organization that is still evolving and growing, you see the changes you're bringing in. Every day there are new challenges, seeing this child coming here with different challenges, this one coming here with different challenges, and looking for ways to really help these children, to focus them.
So it's almost like you're more on the ground, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm on the ground.
Yeah.
And the most interesting part about it that really just makes me feel that whatever we are doing is right, Steve, really, it's when you see mothers coming to the office and shedding tears, crying and saying, oh no, if it were not for Gogro Children Association, I don't know where I could be. Some of them, there's a mother who came, this one really touched my heart. A mother who said that she had a big family. She had 10 children and really she lost her husband through HIV and AIDS. And here she was down, her CD4 count had gone low, so she was helpless, has no food to eat, looking at the children. She was contemplating to commit suicide.
Because, ooh, really?
Yeah, to commit suicide and poison the children so that they are no longer there. She doesn't want to live. You know, the satisfaction of a mother is to see children excel. So here she's helpless. She's seeing her children here. They're also helpless. So she was contemplating to poison the children and in the wrong land, take her life away. But thanks to Gogro Children Association, through the support groups, this is a program that is not really, it's not really advertised. But through the good thing that they're doing, you know, in our, where I come from in Kenya, they say that best things will sell out themselves and good things will go on walking to market themselves. So for
Wait, could you repeat that? So repeat that saying.
Please. Yeah, there's a saying in Kenya that says that good things will automatically sell themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, but for bad things, they'll go walking around trying to market themselves. So I say that for Gogro Children Association, it is something good. You don't need to market it. It's about hearing the story, sharing it out.
Mm-hmm.
They share out the experience they've had with the organization. And we see mothers running, coming around just to, how can I get support from here? And right now, to tell you, Steve, we have over 200 children on the website who are really just, they want also to be part of the program. So when this mother came here, so it happened that the child was taken. It happened that three of her children were taken into the program. And from that time, when she could get food aid, the children are in school. The children come for Saturday program where they receive food, they receive mentorship. In school, we provide uniform, we provide books, we provide, they're taught and they're having food there. And then during August, they go to camp, having an exposure outside Nairobi. And then this family, again, they get monthly food aid from the office, basic food that they could not be able to get if they were not in the program. Really, this lady was, she's very happy. She was like, without Gogro, I don't know where I could be dead long ago, forgotten.
Right.
But here I am. I have hope. I know my children gonna transform my life. And so it's great just things, hearing such stories and associating with that success.
Wow, that's wonderful. I mean, it's interesting. I like the saying that you said about good things will happen.
Yeah.
And in some ways, and you're saying it's that storytelling that is so important because that's so like organic and it's so real.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the point of the podcast that we're doing, is because we're trying to tell some of the stories from the sponsor, you know, looking at, because you, like you're saying, there's hundreds of kids who are in need that would love to have sponsors.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm not trying to do a hard sell here, but I mean, I think that's been part of our objective.
Yeah.
Is there is such a good story to tell.
Mm.
There's such success.
Mm.
And it's been really exciting to witness that. Before we talk more about the program thing, though, I have to ask you one question that I thought was kind of quirky in your bio on the website.
Yeah.
And it said that you wanted to be a street performer.
Yes.
What was that? What's that about?
A street performer is just a... Well, you know, you want to be really just to get to you see, getting being, I'm an outgoing character, as someone, I'll say that I'm an extrovert, really wanting to get to know more people. You know, on streets, you know, you are targeting that here I'm gonna meet so many people and I'm gonna have opportunities here and there. So that's what I meant.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, when you're growing up, you really don't know what really you want. And so you imagine that if I got this, this one open my doors for opportunities.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
It feels like you're in the right place, doesn't
good.
It?
Thanks.
Yeah, very nice. So some of the things that I wanted to touch on, because you are, you know, the first podcast episode, we talked with Paula, and, you know, she's the founder and the, you know, the kind of the heart and soul of starting this organization. Mm-hmm. But you are in Nairobi,
yes,
and you're doing the things.
Yes.
And obviously, you know, you've got your own heart and soul that you brought to this, which is so exciting to hear. It's really exciting. I'm wondering, from your perspective, about the organization and the place where you are, if there's any particular observations. You've been in the position for the last year, and what do you feel? You told the story about that individual mother, but what do you feel like are some of the things that are really working well in the organization?
Okay. Yeah, I'll say that generally for Ngong Road Children Association, everything is working well. I know nobody will believe when you say everything is working well. So I just want to justify that here is that it's true. Yes, really, we are transforming lives, and there's nothing about it. And to prove this is that one of the things that is working well is that the schools we are working with, we've selected among the well-performing schools in Nairobi. And Nairobi being a big city, being the capital city of Kenya, it's very competitive. And really, I must say that at Ngong Road Children, the schools we are partnering with are among the top schools. So our children are getting the quality education that any Kenyan child could be able to get. And here at Ngong Road Children Association, I say that we are much better than other schools, because children get exposure to computer skills. You know, nowadays technology is key. So we have computers thanks to our donors and sponsors in the US who are supported towards this computer program.
The computer lab you're talking about?
The computer lab,
yep.
Where children come in at a younger age, they're exposed to computer, learning some of these basic computer packages. They can type, they can access the internet, they can watch movies, they can draw things. So that one is a plus to the program. I'll say that the computer lab is working. Having a library, education, how do you support education, this child to be effective? There is a library where children can get different types of books, ranging from story books. They can read various stories. In the library, they get revision materials in line with the curricula that is being implemented in Kenya. So each class, moving from standard 2 to high school, and even those in campus, they're able to get reference materials for their researchers. So really, the library model is something also very good, and I say thank you to our sponsors. Most of them were in the US. I'll say another model that is working well, you know, children can't learn well minus other factors like food. The food feeding program, really, it's doing marvelous. These children coming from slum areas, sometimes even getting a meal in a day is a challenge, because people in slum are living on hardly a dollar in a day. And really, you know what it means. So these children, whenever they are in school, we paid for their breakfast there. They are getting lunch there. And on Saturday, when they are not in school, we have a feeding program where they come for the Saturday program. And during that Saturday program, they get a chance to play. There's a big field. They get a chance to play with other children. They have things like balls, which they could not have in there. They have soccer balls. They have volleyball. They have different kind of activities that are really helping in the entirety, total development of a child, all-round individual. They're getting physical, the emotional, the social, and even the food.
Mm-hmm.
And really, with this combination of all this, it makes our program really a big success. Another thing that really is unique about our program, really, and makes it more successful, is that the model, our program model, whereby we have we develop deep relationships. We are not, for Ngongro Children Association, we are not like other organizations that are running for numbers. As we are looking at quality, have concentrate on this individual and build this individual to be the right person that you want. So we are doing this with the, having the social support. We have the child is here being at the center. We have the case worker at the organizational level who is dealing with this child, trying to gauge, is this child on the right road? What is affecting, what could be affecting her both at home? We do school home visit to find out the environment at home. If the environment is not good at home, we take the child to boarding facility where they can be able to concentrate on their studies. And then we have the parent there. You know, we learn that the model of putting children in a children, like the model of children homes, does not work well. You know, for us, we look at leaving the children in their natural environment, that is being at home, and to ensure that there's a strong support at home. If this child lost a mother or lost a guardian, there's another responsible adult will be, take care of this child so that they're not, they're still in that home environment where we have many advantages of leaving the children in that home environment than bringing them in another environment which they're not familiar with. So this one, we felt that it helps children grow well. And so in that home environment, there's this caring adult, could be a mother, could be a father, could be both, could be a guardian, or could be a relative. And then when we come back to school, there's the teacher there. The teacher is following up on the child, just trying to teach them and support them what they need academically to excel. And above all, there's the sponsor. This is a different voice. Someone, when this child gets someone, they, out there, there's someone who loves me. There's someone who cares about me. The sponsor keeping in touch with this child, and this child really mentoring them, telling them how life is, just getting that bigger perspective. You know, these children have not traveled, they've just been that slum. So getting that wider perspective that...
You know, the thing I've always wondered about from the child or the student's point of view is, how is it that, you know, they're in this wonderful program, but then at the end of the day, they go back home where they're... It may not be healthy, or it may not be supportive, or you know, they may not have electricity, or they may not have some of the things. How do the kids kind of integrate that reality with the reality that they have during the day? I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things that's always kind of rattled me a little bit, because it seems like they're in such a great situation at one point, and then they're kind of like, oh, but this is actually, you know, my brothers and sisters don't have this. You know, how does that work?
It works, Steve, and I'll tell you that what makes it work is that there's a saying that says, east, west, home is best. It doesn't matter. You know, this is where they've grown. So it starts with appreciating that, yes, I come from here, and this program is helping me to get me out of this place to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're used to that reality, but still they appreciate the support you are giving them, because they know that if this environment reminds them that really, it gives them the reason to work hard so that they can one day move from that place to a better place.
Yeah. So they can see beyond those small boundaries that they're in. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So I know this last, I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but the last, you had this camp program. And I regret I didn't come for that. I was supposed to come, and I ended up changing my plans. But how was that summer camp? And maybe talk a little bit about some of the other kind of programming that was brought to the camp this year, like with Sally Kenny's program and some of the soft skill types of classes that were offered during summer camp this year.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. I'll say that summer camp this year was a big success. You know, every time I've not been there for the past, but I was there during last year's camp, I'll say that at Ngongro Children Association, we are always striving to excellence. Everything, as we keep on moving, we keep looking at the lessons learned from the past camp, and we incorporate them in the planning to ensure that this one comes out better than the previous one. So for this year's camp, I'll say that it was a big success, taking children to Mount Kenya area, these children, yes, they're coming from Kenya, yes, but they've never been to there because of their living conditions and their poverty situation back at home. So this camp really was in Mount Kenya area. And I'll say that the program was very effective because we have the Kenyan board, Ngongro Children Association board on the ground. They got involved in the planning and implementation of camp. The lessons at camp, we had one of the board members by the name Robert Murimi, who conducted a very good session, who had a very good session on leadership, took the children through leadership skills. And we had other volunteers at camp. We had a long-term volunteer and a bigger sponsor towards Gold Road, that is Chris Adams. She's they're the Kenyan sponsors, the biggest Kenyan sponsors. And she also came to camp just to teach children, just to teach them on leadership and how can they be able to interact. And I'll say also we were lucky to have the volunteers from Tulane University. And thanks to Professor Sally Kenny and Professor Isabel. During camp, Professor Isabel took time to do some evaluations, just to try and evaluate the program. And she was able to interview 40 staff and children at camp, especially the leaders. So thanks to that team. We had a very good team from Tulane University. Some of them they supported during the field activities, sporting activities, and different activities, really bringing some of the activities from the US, trying to teach the children a variety of games and activities during camp. But specifically, Professor Sally conducted a session. There's this book that children had watched about Queen of Katwe. And so Professor Sally just came trying to relate this book to the children in Kenya, relating to their where they're coming from, looking at the issues of looking at the book and the background that these children are coming from, mentioning the issues of resilience, trying to teach these children things to do with chess and how they relate the book to the reality. It was a good session. And we also had other volunteers like Margaret Pfeffer, who also helped children to make some great patterns, you know, just relating these children school and also just doing the creative, being able to, each child at camp was able to do the entire and just make a t-shirt of their own choice, going through different patterns. And so we appreciate.
So that was like more like creativity.
Creativity, yeah. Yes, great. Yeah. That's creativity.
Wow.
Yeah. So we appreciate all these volunteers, and of all is Tom Clayson. His support cannot go without being appreciated. Really just dedicating his time in coming up with all the content of camp in conjunction with the Kenyan team, working sleepless nights, just trying to ensure that activities, two weeks of camp without resting. Really, Tom is up. It's a big asset to NRCN.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's very amazing. Yeah. And he knows how to blend with the children and the activities and the energy as a zeal and the loving figure, really. Thank you, Tom.
Yes.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes.
Really just get this. Thank you. And all other volunteers that came at camp, I might not be able to mention them by name.
Right.
But we really appreciate your support and Ngongro Children Association, because this year also the children had an opportunity to visit one of the biggest private conservancy that is called Olepecheta. They were able to see the Big Five. The Big Five, here we mean them. They're able to see the elephant. They were able to see the rhino. They were able to see the leopard. They're able to see the lion. Yeah,
that's got to be amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
I mean, when you think about where these kids come from,
yeah,
and you know, some of them have never even seen downtown Nairobi, right? And here they are; they're out in the wilderness and seeing the Big Five. And think about how that opens up their world.
And the climax for camp is the climax for children at Ngongro Children Association. That's the opportunity. They're still in camp, and they're thinking, next year, really, will it come like tomorrow? For us to come back at camp. And the climax of it all is that they're going to have a balanced meal every day.
balanced meal breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And different meals, nutritious, the quality, the quantity. You know, at homes they do with one meal in a day. Sometimes then they go without food. But during camp there's a guarantee that for the time you're at camp, you have food.
Isn't that amazing? Something that, I don't know, we take advantage for granted here. Yeah. You know, we just don't even think about that. Really. Yeah. And yeah, you realize that that's one of the greatest benefits.
Yeah, yeah. And the children are like, wow, I can't. Because they know they're going to have nice meal and to know with meals, great meals, you know, so it helps in their mental development. So really, thank you all supporters who supported camp.
Yeah.
Camp is amazing. For all these children, when you read their letters, you'll see that everybody's talking about camp. That is the climax at NRCA. And we are happy about that.
Nice. That's really exciting. So just to flip the coin, because, you know, everything's not always rosy.
Mm.
What do you see? What challenges do you see from your perspective? Like, what do you feel like, boy, if I could only do this, or if we as an organization, you know, like, oh, everything's going really great, but boy, here's something else. Because, you know, that, it's never 100% perfect, right?
Of course. Of course, there are challenges. And one thing I'll say, the greatest challenge at Ngong Road Children Association is that when we see parents coming, they have children, and really accommodating all those children is a big challenge. Because, you know, getting children in the program is dependent on the available sponsors. So there's a big need for children into the program. You see a parent coming crying, oh, I'm coming from, I can't afford, my child has not gone to school. But, you know, it's now beyond us. No, for us, the much we can do is just to screen this child to ensure that, yes, this is a potential, high potential child, and put them on the website. So sometimes, you know, a child could come like in January, we've interviewed them, we put them on the website, they stay even a year. So you see a parent streaming in the office every day. What has happened about my fate? Where is my child going? So you see, it's you know, and they're crying and you can't help them. That is the greatest challenge that you're having. Another challenge that you're now having is that when the program was starting, we didn't see, you know, looking at the end, you know, now we are facing reality. These are children now coming out of the program. They've gone through primary school. They've gone through high school. They've gone through some post-secondary course. And now they're ready for employment. Really, in Kenya, getting a job is not that easy. And you must have networks and relationships. So when these children are coming out here, just getting them ready, employers to employ them, it's a challenge. It's a challenge we are facing. And as you know, at Ngong Road Children Association, for us to achieve our mission, which is to transform life, we must ensure that this child has a job that will enable them to be able to sustain themselves and even help their families come out of that poverty. And we've seen cases where we've helped a child and they've taken their parents now to, a girl has taken, there's a case of a girl called Jacqueline Nyarwai. This is a girl who was not very talented in school. I'll say she was not very talented because she got a D+. But you know, she had the passion and the zeal about life. And so she went for a course, secretarial. She was interested in secretarial. And so she trained in that course. And our largest partner, what I say, mentioned about Chris Adams, they have a farm in Kenya called Bimeda. It's an international farm, but it has a branch in Kenya. So having interacted with Jacqueline and seeing that this is a girl who has potential, they were able to absorb her to work in their reception area. And she has proved to be the best receptionist. And now she has moved her mother from a single room that was not from that slum environment. And the mother is in a well, in a stone house, with water, with electricity, and her life is better. She can buy a dress that she wants. And in the long run, she's going to get a good husband. And with that, her generation has changed forever because she'll be able to take her children to school. And so that is something. The investment in these children, see what I'll tell you is that it is something that will last years and years. And I must say that really we are so grateful to our donors and sponsors for the great work you are doing. So the biggest challenge is now getting these children to get jobs. Really. So we We are requesting some of the sponsors that could be having networks in Kenya and any other country, that if they could also assist us get opportunities for these children, because really, if you have a network, it's easier to get someone into a job or also internship opportunities for our children. If you don't know anybody, it's a bit complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we are trying our best to ensure that 75% and over of these children get opportunities, they get jobs to do. So that is another challenge at that level. Those are the two main challenges.
Yeah,
I must mention.
So here's one question I have, and I don't even know how much it relates to your situation. And I know you've been going through, you know, some elections there, and that's been kind of creating some destabilization of the environment. I mean, in terms of, is that something that's just so like out there, it doesn't really impact you, or is that a concern with the elections, and maybe if they're, you know, are you being affected by any of the violence or any of the disruption, or is that something that's just like, that's over there and we're here and we're just doing our thing?
Thank you, Steve, for that question. And one thing I'll tell you is that really a stable environment is good for everybody to flourish. So really elections is really affecting even Gongro Children Association, because whenever violence erupts, it starts from the slum areas. And most, if not all, of our children are coming from the slum environment. And you know, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So you know, during such violence is that some of the goons in the slums will take an opportunity to just disrupt people's lives, to steal and to do what. And generally, we are looking at the bigger impact of this. You know, it affects the economy, and you know, buying goods becomes very costly. Like if we have to feed our children, if you've been buying something at, for example, let's say that at $10, it will double, because there's a lot of, you know, people are worried what is going to happen tomorrow. So this whole political situation has very negative effects to the programming and everything, because it also affects the climate for children. Right now, our candidates should be sitting for the exams. The KCPE, Kenya Certificate of Primary Education, is on. Kenya Certificate of Secondary Education is on. And you know, with such an environment, you know, whether children or candidates are prepared for exams or not, you know, automatically there's that psychological effect. They're worried. They don't know what's going to happen another tomorrow. So that form of you are not sure what is happening. And then the impact on the long run, as you may know that at Gongro Children Association, we are looking at the long-term sustainability. We have a business called Karibulu Limited. You know, we can't sell because people book the toilets. We are trying to penetrate the Kenyan market, and we are not still yet there because we've been making losses, because this is our long-term idea that's going to sustain the Gongro Children Association. But with this menace, this political situation, you see, people book for events, they are booked toilets, but they cancel the last minute because they don't know if people are safe to conduct those events. So we want our leaders to come up, both the opposition and the president, just to sit down and have a dialogue, because the nation is greater than an individual. Because all these effects are going to affect us, and it's our prayer that it will not go bad, because if violence erupts, you know, it will interfere the education system, especially those ones who are sitting exams. If it interrupts, if violence breaks up and now examinations cannot go on, it means the school calendar will delay. And if the school calendar delays, it means us paying more money for that extra time that the children will be expected to be in school. And these other ones gonna also be affected because they can't go to school as scheduled earlier. So the whole effect will come back. Even Gongro will not be an exception. So we are being affected. And generally also it affects the operations, because the safety of also staff. Do you come to the office if this violence erupts? So generally the election it affects the whole economy.
Yeah. Well, I hope things settle out there, because I know that, mm-hmm. It's destabilizing effect is probably greater than anything. So I think, you know, our, at least from this point of view, you know, my heart and minds are with that and thinking, oh, please, you know, let's get things taken care of there. So I'm wondering, maybe we can kind of kind of close out a little bit here, but you know, the whole idea that we've been talking about for this year is kind of this theme about being ready, willing, and able. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, you know, students are, like you said, they are accessing the best educational schools that are available in Nairobi. So there's a lot of, you know, good academic success there, mm-hmm. that's allowing them to be really, you know, ready. Then there, all the other things, the support and how some of the volunteers and also some of the programming has really given these kids a sense of the context of that and giving them a sense of they're now feeling willing. They're like, oh, it's not just having information and having knowledge, but what do you do with that? You know, mm-hmm. whether it's going out and getting more education through college, mm-hmm. or being prepared to, you know, get a job. And even like you're saying, the example, you know, sometimes it's a fit, right? You may not be an A-plus student, but if you can find where your fit is,
yeah.
you could be successful.
Yes.
And then in the end, you know, it's that idea of just being able. These kids coming out with that sense of themselves and self-confidence and who they are. Is there anything that you would... you talked about one example, but is there any other example or anyone that you think about this idea of being able, how these kids are feeling when they're reaching? In some ways, I think about, you've got these older kids, mm-hmm. who are going through this, and there's some real success stories. How does that reflect, like, for the younger kids? I mean, I imagine they're like going, wow, these kids are coming out, my elders, my seniors, you know, are leaving the program,
yeah.
and they're soaring. And I mean, how does that cascade down to the younger kids, and how does that make them feel?
Ah, great. Thanks for that, Steve. What I'll say is that really the young kids will learn by modeling what they see. So whenever they see the elder ones have gone through the program and that they're successful, they are working, because we have many examples. And I'll mention some of the children here. We have George Odhiambo. George Odhiambo is an orphan who has gone through the program. And when they see that George was hardworking, and he has gone successfully through the program, and he is working. I'm using George's example because he's working in the organization as a caseworker. So whenever these other children looks at George, they imagine, they see the photos and they see George joined the program when he was young. That is 10 years ago. He was a very young boy. And now here he is. He has gone through primary successfully. He went through high school successfully. He's gone through college successfully. And he is working. And he's happy. He's staying on his own. He was staying with a guardian. But now he's able to get his own house. A house where he has all the amenities. He has power. He has water, he can afford food, he can afford better clothing, and he's here. So whenever the young children in the program sees George and they see how happy he is, it motivates them more and say that, I'll also be like him one day. And so this gives them the energy, the zeal, and the encouragement. So they work hard in school, and they're looking forward to becoming like George. It's only an example of George, but there are so many. There's Emily. Wanchiko was also going through the program. Emily was being sponsored to Paula. Thanks very much, Paula. So Emily, right now, she's a role model to girls. When they see also Emily join the program, Emily is also an orphan. She lost both parents. And here she was helpless. And when she was picked by Paula, she has gone through primary successfully. She's gone through high school successfully. She's gone through college. And he's working as a procurement assistant in the office. And she has been patient. It helps the girls. And this one will really help even other girls to say that they need to be patient. Even issues that are affecting young girls about early pregnancy, about issues of engaging into drugs, relationships. When they see a girl, a role model, just an example that, yes, can also do it, just like Emily. So when they look towards that, and you know, we are creating a forum where we use these alumni who have been successful through the program, just to talk to the fellow ones, to share their story and tell them, oh, look here, I was also like you, but here I am. My life has transformed. I'm able to carry my, I'm able even to support my guardian. Yeah, to just give back to them and say that, yes, you hosted me. And here, thank you for what you did. It really makes them also have that zeal to say, yes, here I am. I'm ready. I'm willing. And I'm able.
It sounds like that whole thing is working. Oh, that sounds great. Well, I've really, really enjoyed talking with you. You obviously have so much energy and enthusiasm for this. I feel like I'm so glad I finally got to meet you. Is there anything that you would like to say in conclusion, or anything you feel like we've missed in our conversation, or any parting words of wisdom or anything?
Okay, so what I want to mention that you missed, first I would want just to say that one of the challenges I didn't mention about is about issues of teenage pregnancy. You know, now there are these girls, we didn't, you know, I'll say that yes, I worked in an abstinence program, and I'm glad to mention here boldly that abstinence does not work in this generation where we have a lot of technology. People can WhatsApp on phone, there are many videos. So we learned that the challenge we're facing is that some of our girls, they need to get information about contraceptives. So that we've had cases of like four girls getting pregnant when they're in high school. And you know, the effect of the impact in the long run is that, you know, it affects them, because coming from vulnerable backgrounds where they're not able to support themselves, and against having a young one here to again support. And you know what happens is with such young girls, you know, the people responsible will run away, they'll deny the responsibility. So it is very challenging, really, because this is an investment. We've invested a lot in this girl, and then, you know, she gets pregnant. And you know, we don't want to stop it at that. So really just getting to enable, support this girl, support the child, really. So we are happy that thanks to some of our sponsors and donors, that we've seen the need to have a sexual and reproductive health program. And thanks to Tulane University, through the support of Professor Sally Kenny, we are going to launch a program in 2018. In fact, the training is going to kick off in December. We want to train these people about that. We are borrowing the Planned Parenthood global model, where we want to use a peer provider program. It's called Youth Peer Provider, whereby we train a group of like 10, yeah, five young men and five young women, to train them about, and so that they'll be able to pass the message to the children in the program, where they are free to access contraceptives and that. And also we learned about, thanks to our sponsors, that through Rotary, we're also getting a grant to support a life skills program. We learned that these children is about, we need to mentor them, because if they get jobs, are they able to keep the jobs? So we saw the need to really train them on about life skills, general life skills, soft skills, how do you relate in a workplace, how do you keep a job, communication at workplace, and just general office etiquette and how to really just relate with people. So what I'll say, my parting shot is that, thanks Paula for starting this program. It's really changing lives. It's really transforming lives. And thanks to all our donors and sponsors, both here in America and all over the world, for the great support you are doing. And we really just need your support to continue helping these children to be able to transform their lives. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I sure hope you enjoy your visit while you're here in the United States. And I'm sure you'll get to see and hear a lot more input from your travels. But it's really, really been wonderful to be able to sit down and talk with you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you very much, Steve.
Okay.